Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alarm.com, the official smart home security partner of your Washington Capitals. Every day, millions of people trust Alarm.com to protect their homes and businesses. How about the, thank you, how
head
about
to
the
toe.
Thunder boomers yesterday? Did you get those?
I did get some in my neighborhood. Rolled in probably around, I don't know, 6:30, 7 p.m.
Was it that late? Yeah.
For me, it was.
Yeah, it was probably like, it was probably 3 o'clock in my area.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was more 3-ish
yeah.
where I was.
Maybe I'm just
oh, yeah,
completely...
you were supposed to play golf. Did you play?
No, there... we played. We ran. We skipped around. We played like 8 holes.
Rain. Yeah, now that I think of it, it was earlier.
Yeah, it was earlier.
I don't know what I'm thinking over here.
It was definitely earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, although it didn't hit the only area nearly like it did, like where I was, and I'm sure where Jason was.
It was more just south. Pounding you guys.
Yeah, it was pretty heavy rain.
Yeah, it was. Because I
know
was
I love that. I love it.
I know you like the Thunder Boomers
What'd
in
you
the
do?
Summer.
Sit on your deck or whatever?
Pour yourself a nice drink?
No, just, no. Didn't. Just, we needed it. Grass needed it. The flowers needed it. Cooled it off a little bit.
Definitely cooled off.
Yeah.
You guys needed it? I feel like we've had a lot of rain lately.
Yeah, but it's been so hot the last few days.
It was still hot even after the storm. It was still hot when I was out there.
Shouldn't be as bad today.
Mid-80s today.
Yeah, and then tomorrow should be okay. But then I think the heat comes back on Friday.
What are they saying for the weekend-ish?
Not too bad, actually.
I hope it's not going to rain.
In the 80s, I think.
Should be decent.
In the 80s. I leave for Bald Head Island, North Carolina on Sunday.
So you're doing that again. You've done
you
that
do.
A long time, right?
On Sunday.
Very
well,
nice.
We went a couple spring breaks ago, but...
That's right, when you had the incident.
Had the incident. Yeah, it was an incident.
It was an incident.
There was an incident down there.
Does that incident get talked about these days, or is it just kind of, it's an incident?
It's an incident.
It's just an incident. We haven't talked about it too much.
Yeah.
But
I can understand not talking about it.
It should be okay this time around, because people are more legal. If you know what I mean.
More experience.
Yeah.
Older.
Anyway, so yeah, we leave on Sunday.
Very good.
Head down there on Sunday. Come back the following
Sunday.
Has
that island changed much since we went down there with you guys
it's
20
much,
years ago?
Much more built up. Remember?
Much more populated.
There was the grocery store was about as big as this studio.
I don't remember.
Now they've got a big one. They got a big liquor store.
Remember, they had like one restaurant.
They got like four or five restaurants now, yeah.
So but it's still pretty small. And
very secluded. Yeah, not much going on. It's a chill area. It's a chill area there, Cakes.
Isn't this island filled with... Hippies everywhere. Don't drive. You can't not allowed to bring your car on the island.
Oh, no. It's only golf carts.
You gotta take a ferry to get there.
Take
it's not
ferry.
Really hippies.
Sounds very
it's
isolated.
Not hippies.
The
just
only
rich
vehicles,
people.
The only vehicles on the island are like maintenance vehicles and cops.
Okay. Right.
You'll see the cops rolling around in their police vehicles.
That's got to be one of the easiest beats in the country, right?
Yeah,
Bald Head Island.
Not too much crime going on.
Yeah, I would think. Probably a pretty chill spot.
The only thing they do is they probably pull over golf carts with underage drinkers. That's what they do.
Most likely.
Do they still have, like, no street lights, generally? Like, when it gets
zippy street lights.
When it gets dark, it's dark.
Yeah, the only lights are the golf cart lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way you see.
Yeah, actually a little bit spooky.
But I like it. It's a pretty cool area.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, Cakes, we've got some decisions to make here on the World Cup because we were talking yesterday about a potential wager that we may place.
I think you may have decisions to make. I think I'm already pretty much – I don't think it's been consummated through Valdez's sight, but I am pretty sure what I'm doing.
Okay.
As far as my picks.
Hold on. Before we do that, let's recap because I said I was going to watch the World Cup yesterday and I didn't.
Right.
Because I don't know why. I slept and then I was up playing golf. What were the results yesterday? So – Japan ended up beating Colombia while
we were
in studio, right?
Correct.
I think that was 2-1.
2-1.
2-1 final.
And then what happened?
Senegal beat Poland.
That was
2-1.
That was result. Another
a little
upset.
Bit of an upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slight upset.
Poland played awful in that game.
And the third game
Russia.
Is escaping.
Russia
me.
Won
oh, yeah.
again. They're 2-0.
Russia's
but they,
take care
but
of business.
Who did they beat?
Egypt.
They should have beaten Egypt.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a nice little draw here in their first two games. Who they beat? They beat Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia.
They played
yeah.
Saudi Arabia and Egypt in their
right.
first two games.
I mean, not exactly a world beaters.
By the way, hit my parlay. Egypt scored, so Japan, Egypt, both over a half goal.
Very
parlay,
good.
Big fatty.
Did Egypt score late? Because I saw
they scored late.
Very nice. Yeah. It snuck one in there.
Yeah. So those
which
were your
you
three
love.
Games yesterday, and then today you've got You've got Portugal and Morocco. That's actually your first game.
Yes.
Then you've got Uruguay and Saudi Arabia.
All right, now hold on. Portugal should smoke Morocco, right?
Probably should.
All right.
And then you've got Uruguay, Saudi, and then you've got Spain, Iran.
And Uruguay should smoke. That's in your parlay.
Yeah.
What was the last one you said?
That is Spain and Iran.
Spain should pummel Iran.
Spain should punk them.
Iran, by the way, is a +1200 to win the game.
Right.
All right. So they're significant underdog.
That's why I'm putting Spain in the parlay.
Yeah.
So you're doing Spain and Uruguay.
I'm doing Spain and Uruguay in a two-game parlay
for 500.
For 500.
To pay you what? About 250.
Valdez can tell us the exact
number. Is that official? Because
that's official.
All right.
I'll tell you what that's going to.
And pay. I'm dancing. I'm going to throw Brazil in on a three-gamer for 200 with those other two teams as well.
Does Brazil play?
Costa Rica.
That's tomorrow.
I believe that's tomorrow.
All right, so
yeah.
You get about half your money on that Uruguay Spain. 500 will pay you 274.
Right.
All right.
So,
and I'm not sure about the three gamer.
Spain, 500.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping I don't have to go to my bank to peel off some hundies for Valdez tomorrow.
500 pays 248. So basically like half the money.
Get half my money back.
He's betting got a massive favorite.
Yeah, I got better odds. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you should do it through Jason's.
I probably should. From the sound of it, it's fine. Am I going to quibble?
Yeah, it's
over
like 25 bucks.
20 bucks or
all
30
right,
bucks.
Am I hitting submit?
Yeah, submit it. Put that blinky in.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just, since my odds are better, I'll just go through my site on that.
I want to have an official sweat.
You're definitely in.
Well, I'll be sweating.
All right, so you're in for 500.
Around 11 a.m.
All right, and you're doing the three gamer. You're adding Brazil in there for 200.
Tossing in Brazil for 200 just to get a little
Something's
bit sassy.
Somebody's going to tie something.
But I'm betting on three massive favorites. They all should win.
Brazil's not till Friday.
Yeah, because there's never any upsets in sports.
I mean, look, there were upsets.
Basically two yesterday.
There were some slight upsets yesterday, but those teams were better than any of the teams that are going to be playing today. Like, Senegal is way better than Saudi Arabia.
Uruguay.
Or the other dumb team that I'm betting against.
No, you're right. Right.
And Brazil.
My site has 200, pays 166 on that one. All right? So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, 200 pays 154.
Yeah, his odds are a little bit nubbier, but whatever.
A little bit. It's fine. What am I going to do?
All right, I'm hitting submit.
Yeah, I'm in.
Hey, why don't you throw
officially
in? Why don't you throw in Portugal today too for like 50?
I mean, you know what? I might, because why wouldn't I have sweat on every single game? I mean, isn't that the way to watch the World Cup? If you're not a real soccer nerd,
when USA's not in it.
You're just turning into DJ.
I think this is what I turn into.
Maybe that's why I have no interest.
It's weird because this is not going to happen when the NFL rolls around. I don't feel compelled to bet on like every NFL game.
That is strange.
It's weird.
Yeah, it
well,
really
because
is.
He thinks he sees big fat winners.
I think I see winners.
It's a lot harder to see NFL winners.
Yeah.
A lot harder.
Yeah. But with money line bets.
I just see low hanging fruit and feel like I have to grab it. I feel like it's just there for the take.
Right.
Now, when somebody bung jobs me and gets a draw today, I'm going to be salty.
So cakes.
Yeah.
So if you do Uruguay, Spain, Brazil, and you throw in Portugal.
So a four gamer. Now you need four games to come through.
$100 pays you 191.
It is kind of sad. It is kind of tasty.
And then you'll have action on all the games today and one tomorrow.
All right, so what am I officially in on? I'm in on the 500, the 200. Yeah.
Yes.
So now I'm looking at an $800 potential investment.
Yeah. Or I can knock that one down to 50 for you.
50. Why don't I just bet $1? Do it for 100. Let's go.
All right.
Let's effing go. Let's bet.
I mean, you talked yesterday
World
about
Cup soccer
all right, you're
games.
In.
You talked yesterday about potentially doing 1,000, so you're almost there.
Yeah, I'm getting there. 1,000 on one bet is it's too potential.
It's kind of like on one bet though, because you have them
all kind
of tied together.
I've got a lot of eggs.
Basically,
in the
one
same
big
basket.
Bet.
Yeah.
Cakes, can you name one player outside of Ronaldo in any of these games?
Let's see. Suarez, I can name him from Uruguay. Let's see. Who are some of the other teams?
You name
one
anybody
Spanish
from Spain?
Player.
From Spain?
Yeah, your favorite can't lose team.
No. How can I name one of those players?
Diaz.
Yeah. Give me another team. Another.
Portugal.
Well, I mean, outside of Ronaldo. Yeah. No, I mean.
And then Brazil. You know, anybody on Brazil?
I mean,
is that your Neymar?
I know
place?
Neymar.
Yeah.
I know Paulinho because I picked him in the World Cup pool. He's going to get me zero assists and zero goals.
There, must I remind people, there was a website called Always Bet Against Cakes that was on fire.
It was, but I don't believe there are any World Cup picks.
No.
On that. World Cup's a different animal.
Well, I'm rooting for you. I hope you win.
I hope I win, too.
I hope you win, and I don't know.
It's just know if you're going to follow Cakes' lead today in our player World Cup pool, where you get a point for a goal or assist.
Yeah.
Cakes has 0 points.
Zero. And I have five players.
I don't even know how it's possible.
Well, here's how it's possible. With my second round pick, I passed on Ronaldo and picked some German donk. Because I thought Germany's
Why'd you gonna, pass on Ronaldo?
Because I thought Germany's going to advance to the final and Portugal would not. I didn't take into account that
he might have three goals in every game.
That Ronaldo could score 10 goals in the span while he's still playing.
Right.
It didn't even cross my mind.
Did someone jump on Ronaldo immediately after?
Yeah, I think Awad did after I passed on him.
Yeah.
Because I'm stupid when it comes to soccer. And various assorted other things.
Drabby, I was a little bit salty. I thought that Poland would beat Senegal yesterday. I would go 4-0 in the first round. So I have three. I'm 3-1 in the first round. Because I had Poland.
I think you're still in first place. It was a mild upset.
Yeah,
Poland, some big silly team.
I just thought they were going to win.
All right, so everybody has a sweat today. We can all follow Cakes' bets. And if you're not that great and you're driving around, you can't remember everything. Cakes, will you just tweet out what you got?
Yes, I can tweet out the action.
Tweet out the action.
I just sent Cakes his ticket.
Yeah,
very
so,
good.
So he can tweet it out.
You could tweet a picture of it.
Nice.
You just say, hey, this is what I got, if you want to follow along.
I will tweet it out.
Portugal's pretty explosive, right? I mean, they've got some. So I think I might play over 1.5 goals for Portugal today in the first
Who
game.
Do they have? Again, I can't keep track of all
these opponents.
Morocco.
That's your opening game today.
You like that bet? Just for them to score two?
I don't get sized for that game at all.
Why?
Because everyone's slobbering Ronaldo right now, and that's just super dangerous because they have duds all the time. They're not that great.
Really?
Can you get
He's at a World Cup show.
Can you get a number on Ronaldo goals? Can you bet on individual players?
Sure you can somewhere.
Probably. Look for props right now.
Sure you can somewhere.
Dive in, baby.
I just like playing the team.
Now you're really drilling down if you're trying to just nail who's scoring.
That's true. Yeah.
That just seems insane.
But because they played their first game, there was 3-3, correct?
Yes.
They seem like they're pretty explosive. I mean, obviously they got Ronaldo, but their defense, there's probably not that great either. So it could be a high-scoring game.
He's trying to talk himself into it.
Yeah, he's trying to rationalize.
He gets sized for run lines and all that. He likes that.
I mean, I just think Portugal can score two today.
Yeah, they probably can.
I'm kind of vibing that one.
Why don't you just pick them to win?
I could do that, too. They're -145.
Yeah.
They're going to beat Morocco.
Parlay the win with the over.
All the games during the week on FS1?
No. There were some games were on Fox yesterday.
Some are. Because I'm just, if I am home.
The Senegal game, the Poland-Senegal game was on Fox yesterday.
I'm not running into the games. Like, if I have the TV on, I'm just not running into the games.
The early games, the really early games are on FS1. And then once they get to the afternoon, I think they go on Fox.
By the way,
and then the weekend, I think.
I know this shocks nobody. Senegal, lightning fast.
Oh.
Those dudes are so fast.
Yeah. They were.
Again, not surprising news.
They're all like
to
wide
anybody.
Receivers.
Yeah.
Good athletes.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah.
Might have a sleeper on my hands of Senegal in the World Cup pool.
Bickle, I'm surprised you're not trying to get in on some of this action.
I'm not following it closely enough.
You think
Plus,
I am?
I've been down that
Neither
road.
Am
you
I.
Think I am?
No, you guys are more degenerate than I am.
Well, that's true.
That is true.
Yeah. I really like to only bet if I feel like I got a sure thing. Like Tiger shooting over par around when everyone else is shooting 80 in the first round of a major. Like, that is the biggest winner.
Yeah,
ever.
You want to pick your spots.
I'd pick my spots.
All right. Yeah. Maybe later in the
And
the tournament.
I've already actually just casually watching this World Cup stuff, the results, seen too many little upsets. I'm staying away from that crap.
Mm.
But I think somebody tweeted me yesterday that the Bovada odds on Reardon being named the head coach of the Capitals are like, is it 2-15? Does that make sense? 15-2? Am I getting it?
No, it would probably be
two to fifteen.
Yeah.
15-2.
Yeah, 2-15.
15-2 would be a long
basically
shot.
Saying
you pay 7.5 to 1.
Just sprint up to the window
for
and,
every
$15
you
win two.
You win two.
So why wouldn't you drain your account and bet on Reardon being named the head coach?
Because if he
Kicks
does it,
the itch.
I'm telling you, the fix is in. He's going to be named the head coach.
I think we all think that.
He's the in-house guy. Of course he's going to be the guy.
I think he's going to get the gig. But what if something broke down in negotiations? You're going to be bitter. You put $5,000 on
it. I'd be salty at that point.
Something to win.
But I would feel like I got my money in good.
Do you think they'll pay Reardon or Brown what the offer was to Barry?
No way. He's cheap. They're going to get him for cheap.
Yeah, I don't know what.
So less than $1 million?
No.
No, 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 no.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
I think
about.
He's going to come in around.
Barry was getting like 1.8.
1.8,
yeah. So he'll get like
1.5.
Okay.
So 1.5, 1.6-ish.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Around what that offer, what the final number was.
Yeah, probably, because that's way undervalued still.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, Reardon doesn't deserve much more than that. I mean, he's never coached before.
They'll get him on like a 3-year deal, close to $6 million.
Okay.
I had to guess.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Something like that.
Around what Barry would have made.
Something in that neighborhood.
I guess Barry would have made if he would have stayed.
If he would have stayed, yeah. That's what I was getting at.
I thought you meant like the $4 or $5 million he won.
Oh, no, no, no. I knew that one.
They're not getting anywhere near that.
Big show today.
Hold on, real quick. Just wanted to mention that Valdez and I placed a couple wagers yesterday on Bryce.
Okay.
All right. So, we've got Bryce batting. He's got under 333 for the series against the Orioles, and I've got over.
Right.
What's he, 1 for 4?
1 for 4. So, you know, I'm not that far off. And we also have the home run bet. Now, he had a double yesterday. He hit 2 weak fly balls to left. He hit a double, and then he hit a line drive right to the first baseman, right?
Yeah, that was a ground ball.
Ground ball. So we got 2 more games to go there.
He's so
frustrated. I was encouraged by the double.
You were?
Yeah. Hit the ball pretty hard.
Yeah.
I don't know. You said that Brian Kenny and those guys were analyzing him on MLB Network?
Yeah, we can get into that at some point during the show.
Yeah,
they talked about it for about a half hour.
I mean, it's a big issue. It's actually becoming the big monkey in the room.
But see, Brian Kenny and that whole crew on MLB, I don't know if they call it MLB.
MLB
Tonight,
Now.
Now, they get into like the geeky stats.
Right. They drill down hard.
Like, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, all of the metrics they were getting into.
Greenberg's got an article in the Post where he's talking about, you know, the balls hit and play and you know, swing speed and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that dude, man.
I'll have to see. See how that bet pans out.
But
they
dropped Trey Turner in the lineup yesterday, and he went 4 for 4.
Yeah.
They moved Soto up to 2. Soto batted 2, and Turner batted
Soto's
5 or 6.
Soto's just the truth. He's just a pure hitter. Pure as they get.
Shocker, the Orioles couldn't hold a 5-1 lead.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
People find sex almost as disgusting as infectious wounds.
What?
A new study found. Now, let me just say, the study comes from.
Where's it from?
It's from researchers at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.
That's the worst.
Where does Drabby find this?
I don't know. This one was on Esquire.com. A new study found there are 6 common categories that cause humans great disgust. Atypical appearance.
All right, AWOD. So you look like Adam, right.
Low-hanging fruit. Sorry, AWOD. It's just a joke. Yeah. Just relax.
No, it's not a joke. It's true. Go ahead.
Lesions.
Oh.
Sex.
What?
Hygiene. Food. And animals. For example, people are generally revolted by body odor, expired food, and most of all, according to the study, this is just gross, pus-filled wounds.
All right. I can get all that. What about sex?
As for the sexual disgust that's triggered by situations of risky sex, like bad genital hygiene and having sex with somebody shortly after meeting them. Apparently, the disgust developed as a means to keep us safe from diseases like syphilis from unsafe sex or cholera from drinking contaminated water.
You're saying this is just some sort of innate thing that we have? Is that what you're saying?
Here's the quote. Disgust is a system in the brain that causes us to reject and avoid the things that would have made our ancestors sick. So we tend to avoid things like spoiled food, skin lesions, sex with promiscuous people, people with odd appearances, or poor hygiene.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a huge Reggie, you're out. You're disgusted.
Well, that was, weren't big Reggies hot back in the day?
Yeah, I think they were all the, I thought they were coming back.
Now, women alone were
whatever happened to that, by the way? Are Reggie still back?
I don't know.
It's a great question.
I'm not
I feel
sure.
Like 2 years ago, Reggie's were back.
I think it might have been short-lived.
Look at me.
I'm telling
Look at me,
you.
Reggie.
I feel like armpit hair and Reggie's.
Not for guys.
Not for guys. For guys, it's disgusting. But I'm saying for guys, it's probably pretty standard.
I think for girls, it's disgusting.
Myself.
Now, women alone are more disgusted by sex than men. Women rated risky sex and animals carrying diseases as the most disgusting scenarios. Where men take more risks, women act protectively to safeguard their children and their reproductive health. Hold Meanwhile, on. Guys don't care.
Hold on. Read the first part again about women. The first part of that sentence.
Women alone were more disgusted by sex and
in
all the
general,
other
or all, just
and
by...
all the other categories than men.
Right. So women are more disgusted by pretty much everything.
Yes.
Maybe I'd buy
it. It takes a lot to disgust a man.
So, but what you're saying is not that much of a stretch. So if you have terrible hygiene, so if you have like warts on your dong, of course that's disgusting.
Right.
All right. I mean,
that triggers your flight.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Right. And I mean, it is kind of gross when you think about two, it could be kind of hot, but if you think about two, like you don't even know a person and you're going to be exchanging bodily fluids.
Right. It's risky. It's like, a risky behavior. Like,
yeah. Well, first time encounters.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of gross. Kind of hot. Kind of gross. It's a fine line there.
But again, here's where I take a step back. The study was conducted by the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. I mean, has anybody ever heard of that school?
No one's going to argue that like lesions or poor hygiene is disgusting. So I mean,
yeah, but there's nothing.
They're not saying that regular sex is disgusting.
I don't think anybody in this room is such a turn on for women that we're so clean and proper. All we do is fart and grunt and make.
I mean, humans.
Yeah, just or guys in general. I'm talking about the women finding sex with men absolutely disgusting. There's nothing silly.
No, that's not what they're saying. They're not saying sex in general is disgusting. They're saying if you have terrible hygiene or like the thought of banging a stranger, but they don't know your hygiene, that's disgusting. That makes sense to me. They're not saying in general sex is disgusting. That's not what I'm getting from that.
Here's the line. As for the sexual disgust, it's triggered by situations of risky sex, like bad genital hygiene.
Right. Yeah,
or having sex with somebody after just meeting them at Don Tito.
Right. Yeah, but you get sized to have sex when Dina's all sweaty and gross and everything? Like she's doing yard work or something?
Maybe,
she comes inside?
Maybe not necessarily, but I'm generally down.
You're down.
I'm generally down.
You've told me some stories. I know your hygiene isn't that silly. I know you brag about how stinky you are sometimes.
When I come into work.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would guess he probably freshens up before an intimate encounter.
Yeah, generally speaking.
I would guess.
I'd be rejected.
I mean, what is he? Is he a caveman?
I'd be matumboed.
Well, that's exactly what the study is saying.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with that. But Drabby's trying to make it more pervasive. That it's more in general.
That women are just
women
disgusted
just don't
by men.
They're disgusted by sex. They're not. They're disgusted by the potential of having sex with a stranger, not knowing what's going on in their history. That makes sense. And if you have, like, lesions on your dong.
Newsflash, I am special, and I of will never be one of
right,
you.
So, well, that's
of course
just
that's
obvious,
disgusting.
Yeah, it's an obvious
yeah.
result of the study.
Yeah.
I don't get
why
it.
Why are you trying to make something out of nothing?
You're poking holes into the London study here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, because I don't think it's you're trying to make something out of that's not there.
I don't. I'm not an editor for.
You're trying to say
Esquire.
Just because guys fart and stuff that girls are not into.
No,
sex.
They said bad genital hygiene is a turnoff. AWOD has bad genital hygiene 100%
of the
time.
That's why
he's in here ripping farts all the time.
That's not genital hygiene.
That's why he never hits the skins.
No, he doesn't hit the skins because bad personality, he's a liar, he's ugly,
well,
no accomplishments.
It's all combined, yeah.
Makes no money.
Don't have all that listed here in the study. That's not in the paper that I have.
Gross, ugly, no terrible job, terrible life.
Like soccer way too much.
Yeah. You got a wizard's wallet.
Valdez and AWOD are also fighting right now.
Oh, what are they beefing about in there?
AWOD got $250 for filming something, and he's blown 50 of it on this bet this morning so he can get in with the junkies and get some airtime about making a bet. And Valdez is upset about it.
Why? Because he doesn't want him...
Well, he's
like trying to be his way into there.
Well, I just...
Are you trying to be his coach, his life coach?
No, I'm not trying to be his life coach.
Are you jealous that he wants attention dollars?
No, I'm not jealous he wants attention dollars. I was genuinely trying to look out for him. Because if he's going out every weekend and everything, 50 bucks is a lot of money. 50 bucks can buy groceries for a week.
Right. He doesn't have any regard. He doesn't understand money. He's like,
he didn't even have to put $50 on it. He could have put $25
on it. What's the difference? He has the brain capacity of like a 13-year-old.
First of all, the bet's not going to lose, so it's going to be extra money in his pocket to go out anyway. What's 50 pay you?
71.
Yeah, I mean.
What's the bet? What's the bet?
Is that the same bet that we're doing?
Oh, he did the $50 on the parlay.
He's doing a spinoff bet. At all teams, all the favorites win today.
Oh, wow. I thought you were doing our bet. Okay.
Yeah, but you don't have any regard for money, right? You acknowledge that.
I mean, yes. But I'm trying to build my career, so money doesn't mean much to me right now.
It never meant much to you.
That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, he never makes sense.
What do you mean? I'm trying to build myself at this radio station to be taken seriously
as a
broadcaster.
Right, I understand. So you do take a job where they don't pay you that much because you're trying to work your way up.
Right.
But the little money you do have, you want to try to hold on to it. That's what I'm saying.
This is the lock of a century. Okay. These big favorites in the second group stage game always come to play because they need to put their team in the knockout round.
I hope you didn't just kiss a death to our bets.
Ronaldo, Suarez, Isco, all going to score a goal today.
So you've got Portugal, you've got Uruguay, and you've got Spain today.
Yes.
Okay.
Basically spent 50 bucks so you could talk for a minute.
Well,
he spent 50 real dollars to get the mic
on.
Dollars.
Right. You turn the mic on.
I'll give EB 20 bucks right now to retweet my soccer podcast.
I'm not going to take your money. I feel so bad. You're just so busto. I would feel horrible doing it. You really
you feel
want me
horrible
to retweet?
I'm psyched for you to hit that retweet button.
I wouldn't even have seen it. Where is it? I
mean, Brendan Dard's been tweeting it out every day. It's on the station website. 2018 Cup Roundup on iTunes.
You understand how Twitter works? 97 billion people tweet. I think I see everyone's tweets.
Yeah, I know.
You look at it for a second and you missed it.
You've got like as many followers as Shakira. You're super popular on
Will
Twitter.
You shut up. Most of my followers are bots. It's all fake, and it's impossible to keep track of. Twitter. In a lot of ways, it's outlived its usefulness because so many people tweet so much of their hot takes now. You can't even see anything. Just happens too fast. I don't know.
Yeah, but you still pay attention to it.
I like it for the news. I like it for the news. I hate it for everyone's hot takes. You know, especially all the political stuff. I just block. But I'm sorry.
Adam, I hope you win that bet.
I hope you win the bet, too. I don't want you to be bust, though.
So you have more money to spend at the bars this weekend.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why Valdez doesn't want me to just be the czar of World Cup soccer.
I see what you did there, czar. It's being held in Russia.
He doesn't
care. You think he knows that?
Yeah.
No.
I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure it was unintentional.
You think that was intentional?
No.
He stumbled into something.
Like it.
Spell czar.
It's definitely C-Z-A-R.
Wow. That's a huge upset. That's like Saudi Arabia upsetting like Uruguay today. Oh, let's hope that doesn't happen.
All right. No chance.
I hope you win too, stupid. I really do. Is it worth? Are you glad you're in?
Yeah.
How bitter are you going to be if you lose?
Not that bitter.
Right. It's because you have no regard for money.
I'll be bitter if it loses.
Right.
I know that. You know, and I know Cakes will.
Oh, I'll definitely be salty. I'll be begging for another appearance.
Some guy texted in on the zip line. He said, I might actually bet on Saudi Arabia and Iran today.
Oh, really? Just because Cakes?
I said, don't do it because it's going to lose. He goes, I know, but it's Cakes.
Yeah, right. That's true.
I said, that's a good point.
If you can fade me and make a lot of money, more power to you.
But you don't lose every bet. I think you're going to win this one.
Yeah, I don't lose every bet. I lose a lot of them, but I don't lose everyone. We're happy to be joined on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, as we are every Wednesday, by Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Ops and General Manager of the Washington Nationals, in the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo. It's presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, unexpectedly different. Unexpectedly, I guess we lost the connection. We'll get back with Mike in just
a bit.
We're
having issues with connections today.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
Rizzo.
We'll make it work somehow.
All right, there he is. Mike, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello,
buddy.
Mike.
Congratulations.
You guys cutting me off and all sorts of stuff.
No, we never would do that to you. In fact, I'm excited to talk to you today. You know, you do it again to pull off the Mike Rizzo magic. This time you surprise people a few weeks before the deadline. Tell us about the deal and how good you feel about it.
Well, you know, it's something that we thought that, you never have too much elite relievers at the back end of games. You know, it shortens games. It's been a proven way to improve your chances of winning in the playoffs and get into the playoffs. And we just thought that it was a good idea to strike early. as we've done, you know, the last couple of years before the market really kind of develops for these relievers. And we thought the closer to the deadline we get, you know, the more competition we'll have for Calvin. And we were able to strike a deal with Dayton more quickly, and, you know, couldn't be happier about it.
Someone asked me this, Mike, and I didn't know the answer because I don't remember hearing this, but were you interested in him last year before you made those deals for, you know, Madsen and Doolittle and those guys? Were you in on those discussions last year with him?
He was one of the guys that we, you know, kind of kicked the tires on. And obviously, you know, the price for Calvin at that time with a year and a half of control was a lot different than it was, you know, with 4.5 months of control. So we got our eye on him for years. He's been a great reliever for years. And you know, was one of the guys that we talked about when we talked about improving our bullpen.
Does he express gratitude to you, by the way, for getting out of Kansas City? I know he's been there throughout his entire career, but this is a team that's at 22-51. I mean, they're dead in the water, and now he's on a contender. Does he come up to you and just profusely thank you for bringing him to D.C.?
You know, it's kind of a mixed bag with those guys. It's, you know, when you're signed and raised through a great organization like the Royals and go through the, you know, you're in rookie ball with most of your teammates and all of a sudden you're winning a World Series ring with them. And then you get moved. I think there's some joy and some angst just because, you know, you've been there a long time. You're familiar with everything, but yeah, this guy is such a competitor, you know, World Series tested and playoff tested. And, you know, he's happy to be playing meaningful games. He talked about, you know, what it takes to win a World Series, and you know, our guys were all ears, and it's I think that he's really thankful for getting the opportunity to to get after it again and get another ring. And at the same time, you know, it's hard for those old relationships to die and to move on. But he was very excited about being with us. I spoke to him after we made the trade. He was all, you know, a little shocked, but really fired up about it. And when he got to the clubhouse, you know, met some of his old teammates and Timmy Collins and Ryan Madsen, and was you know, welcomed with open arms by not only the bullpen guys, but you know, everybody on the team.
Huh. Well, you certainly have some options there now. All right, so we've been talking about Bryce. I know you've been asked a bunch about it. This is kind of get it out of the way. He did get a hit last night in RBI, so he went 1-for-4. I told our producer Valdez, I said, this is the series he's going to break out. Didn't really happen last night, but I just feel like this is a spot against the Orioles who've struggled all year where he can kind of hit some balls, hopefully out of the ballpark. But again, he is hitting .213. I know you always preach back of the baseball card. He's going to break out at some point, but what are you seeing right now? What's the number one reason you think he's struggling right now?
Well, actually, I've seen the last couple of games, he's been a little bit more erect in the stance. He's got a little bit more balance, kind of thinking middle of the field more often. So I see subtle improvements and subtle changes in his approach at the plate and the way he delivers his swing and that type of thing. So I see good things coming. Hey, I'm a Harper believer. Anybody who's not a Harper believer hasn't seen him play. So, you know, it's only a matter of time before and he gets his act together. He gets, you know, he finds a couple of holes, hits, you know, gets a couple of base hits. Then the home runs will come, and then, you know, we'll be talking something different about Bryce Harper.
You ever think about, because I know you've done this in the past with guys, I think even with Bryce, you ever think about just sitting him down for a day or two? Because, you know, the guy wants to win so bad, wants to perform, that, you know, maybe a little reset, a little Braden Holtby, a little reset for a game or two might help him. Just take a little breath of fresh air, take the pressure off.
Sure. We thought about it. I'm sure Davey will give him a day or two, you know, sometime in the near future. But, you know, we think we're a better team with Bryce in the lineup each and every day. Although, you know, a reset and a break never hurts anybody. You know, everybody needs a day off, especially in the our modern times of baseball, where there's no greenies and there's no stimulation help to get you going every day. Everybody could use a day. So I'm sure Bryce will get a day, but it won't be incorporated with, him not performing on the field or slumping or anything like that. We're a better team with Bryce in there. His presence in the lineup is palatable. You could feel it. The other team recognizes it. They have to prepare for him. And he's still one of the guys that, in each and every advanced meeting, I guarantee you they're circling Bryce Harper's name, even at whatever average he is right now, because they know, I know the Blue Jays were talking about it when I was speaking to some of their baseball people, is, you know, just hopefully, they're saying, I hope he stays cool, and just when he gets out of town, you know, he's going to go off. And I think that's the kind of the attitude with most teams, you know, just we have to prepare for him, we have to scheme for him, and hopefully he won't break out against us. That's what they're thinking.
How effective is that shift against him, though? Because it seems to be having an effect. Maybe it's just a coincidence or whatever, and they're doing it more than ever, maybe close to 50% now, way up than in years past. What does he need to do to combat that, or does he not need to think about that at all?
Well, I think the shift has, you can see throughout baseball, the shift has had an effect on hitters, specifically left-handed hitters. Mm-hmm. I think that the shift in at large has been fairly effective to against left-handed hitting. Yeah, it's no different with Harp. He hits the ball really hard. He hits balls on the line and on the ground. And ground balls these days are outs with the shift as it is. And he just has to, I don't give Bryce hitting advice, obviously, but he's. Yeah, he just has to do his thing. Be Bryce Harper, and that's good enough. That's MVP level, and I don't think he has to worry about chips and hitting around him or through him or over him. I just, get back to your balance point, your good mechanics at the plate, and swing at strikes and don't miss your pitch. I think that's to me when we have our discussions offensively with our coaching staff. They ask me, what do I see from the booth? And I watch a lot of video and that mm-hmm. type of thing. And it's like, he gets in a position to get his pitch. And when he's going good, those 3-1 pitches, the few pitches that he gets to hit that are in the good place in the strike zone, he's firing them off. And when he's going good, those balls are doubles and singles and homers. And now it's it's 2-2 instead of man on second. So I think he's just missing some pitches, and he's following a lot of his good strikes back. And a lot of times all it takes is a broken bat or one good game to get you out of your funk. And when Bryce gets out of his funk, there's teams that are going to pay. So I'm looking forward to the day where he gets it rolling.
Why does his helmet fall off all the time when he's swinging? Honestly, does that show? That's indicative of being sort of out of balance, like what you were talking about.
Yeah, I think sometimes when he overswings, he gets out of balance. You see that with a lot of hitters. But the thing that makes Bryce such a great hitter and such a unique hitter, a guy who can combine average with the prodigious power, is he has a very, very violent swing, but he always stays on balance. I compare it often to a young Tiger Woods, where he used to create that head speed but stay perfectly on balance. And that's Harp. When Harp's going good, he can whistle that bat through the zone with as much bat speed as anybody in baseball, but still stay on balance. And you see when he gets off kilter and his mechanics fail him a little bit, he'll get a little bit off balance, and sometimes his helmet will fly off and that type of thing. But it's all about getting the right pitch to hit, getting ahead in the count, which he's so good at. He still leads the league in walks, and that shows that he still has command of the strike zone. But when he gets his pitch, to hit, and he launches the bat head, he has to square it up instead of following it back. Once you see him starting to square up a few balls on hitters' counts, then you'll know he's starting to get it rolling.
Well, hopefully he goes 2-for-4 tonight with a bomb. When you guys approach the season and start to talk about the season with you and your staff or you and Davey, I know there's 90 games left to play, so there's a lot of baseball to go. But do you approach this division as Atlanta is for real, or is Atlanta, they're just still too young, maybe playing over their head a little bit?
No, we've always respected Atlanta. The same with the Phillies, as young and athletic as they are, and the Mets. We respect all those teams. The Marlins always give us fits, so we don't take any game for granted. That it's Major League Baseball. Like I tell our coaching staff, they pay those guys too. They drive great cars too. So any team in the big leagues, these are 750 of the best players in the world, and and you can't take anybody for granted. And I think that you know, the division this year, which you know, a lot of people thought was a weak division, is becoming, you know, one of the best divisions in the game. And you know, we respect the Braves, always have, and also the Phillies, the Mets, and the Marlins. You know, we go in there to the divisional play because you play them so often. All your flaws are exposed. So this is, you know, baseball at its purest form, because you play these guys and see these guys so much that you know, they know all your intricacies and how you play the game, and it's a true marathon, and the best team of these marathons usually win, and we're looking forward to a great battle going forward. Now, we look at it this way: we're 3.5 games out of first place. We've got 14 of our 25 starters on the disabled list over the last couple of months, and you know, we're still grinding out, winning baseball games at the major league level. It's difficult, and it's not easy. It really exposes your depth in your organization and the way you do your business in the minor leagues and in the big leagues. So we're proud of the record we put up and the guys that we're running out there every day, and we're excited about the last 90 games, and you know, can't wait to finish this thing off.
All right, talk about the shift in the lineup last night. Soto moves up to 2. Harp was batting cleanup, and then Turner went down to 6, but went 4-for-4 and hit a bomb.
Yeah, well, you know, that's Dan Davey. You know, he's not one to stand on convention, and you know, want to give guys a break, a different look, give him some different partners around him, and you know, he wanted to split up some lefties and righties, and you know, drop Trey down to more run producing part of the lineup instead of a, you know, a run scoring part of the lineup. So I think Davey, you know, he mixes and matches and you know, tries to do some new things to get guys jump started, and hopefully it worked last night.
Mike, it's time for the Burke and Herbert Bank fan question of the week. The Orioles are in town, clearly struggling. More specifically, what has happened to Chris Davis? That from Kenny in Crownsville.
You know, I wish, you know, I haven't seen enough of Chris. So, you know, he played the 3 games we played against him in Baltimore. So it'd be really tough for me to give any kind of, you know, kind of a scouting evaluation to Chris. You know, what oftentimes happened with these, you know, good veteran major leaguers that have put numbers up before is that, you know, when you get a little bit older and you know, the bat speed isn't quite there the way it was 2 or 3 years ago, you kind of make adjustments. If the adjustments don't work, then you know, you start spiraling downhill. And you know, these pitchers with the advanced scouting, with the video scouting, with the scouts in the stand, they dissect every flaw in your swing. And when they do find a hole in your swing and a way to get you out, they exploit this thing, and the word spreads around the league like wildfire. And then, you know, the spiral begins, and then it's time for the hitter to make an adjustment. So, you know, it's a game of adjustments, and, you know, Chris is a good enough hitter to make an adjustment. And, you know, it's been a great player for a long time. So, but beyond that, it's hard for me to really give an assessment,
Mike,
specifically
real quick,
on Chris.
Real quick, 30 seconds. How's Victor Robles' recovery coming?
He's coming along good. He's going to start baseball activities in the near future. We'll test out that elbow, you know, in stress situations, like in, you know, when he's playing games, and mm-hmm. We'll see how it fares. And if it fares well, that would be great for us, because then no surgery is needed, and we'll get this guy back sometime this year.
What about Murph? I'm nervous about him.
What are you nervous about? He hit a double against Chapman?
No, I know he can hit. It just I don't like the way he's running. It scares me as a fan.
Yeah, well, you know, he did the microfracture surgery is something. It's a serious surgery. He's come back from it. You know, his running gait doesn't look good. But he's moving around well. Played second base for the first time the other day, and getting some reps at first. So he feels good about it, and you know, I feel good when he's at the plate, and I think you'll only see his knee get better and better along as the year goes on, as he gets more reps and more strengthening in it. So I feel good that he's back in the lineup. We really need that presence and that left-handed bat.
All right,
Mike, great. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right.
That's Mike Rizzo, president of baseball ops and GM of your Washington Nationals.
Raja on with us?
Yeah, and Raj is an NBA and college hoops analyst for CBS Sports HQ, the new 24-hour streaming service delivering news, highlights, and analysis. You can catch him on CBS Sports HQ's live NBA draft coverage tomorrow night starting at 6 p.m. at CBSSports.com and the CBS Sports app. What's up, Raj? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas.
Hey, we were just talking about the first, you know, it's not a blockbuster, but the first pre-draft trade with Dwight Howard going to the Nets for Timothy Mozgov.
Well, look, for the Nets, Sean Marks is a bright dude. I got a chance to play with him in Phoenix. He learned and studied under Greg Popovich and R.C. Buford there in San Antonio. And you know, I think he's quietly – I'm a Dwight Howard fan. He hasn't necessarily lived up to all of the hype, but I still mm-hmm. think he's a really solid big man, and I think they're quietly building there in New Jersey. So not the biggest move in the world, but I think in terms of Sean Marks and Trajan Langdon, what they're trying to do in that front office, it makes sense. It's solid.
All right, so before we talk about the actual draft, let's just talk about some of the superstars and where you think that they may fall, either in free agency or trades. Let's start with LeBron. What's your take on LeBron? If you had to put money on it, what uniform is he wearing next year?
Oh, man, if I had to put money on it, I'd say safe home. I say they figure out a way to – and I don't know the moving pieces of all the assets and the money and all of that, but if you made me bet, I'd say he stays home. Close second would probably be the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm saying, do you buy into these theories that they've already had the kid enrolled or committed to high school down there, that sort of thing? Sierra Canyon, I think, is what it is.
I don't know. I mean, I like a high school, like my kids aren't high school age, but I'm pretty sure you just walk into a high school the day before high school starts and enroll up in a private school like that if you got the money. So mm-hmm. I don't know that they'd have to have like a commitment made. So I probably don't buy that necessarily.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
What about Kawhi Leonard? Popovich apparently went out to L.A. to talk to Kawhi. You know, he doesn't want to be in San Antonio. Who knows where he wants to be? I would guess, you know, the Lakers are a good, you know, possibility, but he certainly wants to be in a big city, big market, and a contender. What do you think about Kawhi?
Don't know exactly where he winds up. That one could be really interesting, but I do know that he won't wind up in San Antonio. He's just not going to work there. Now, San Antonio is not going to be, they're not going to have a gun held to their head and make them move off of what they want to do until they get the deal that they want. Mm-hmm. But I think if you know you're going to lose him at the end of the day, and I do believe that relationship to kind of be irreparable at this point, if you know you're going to lose him, even the most stubborn do it my way or the highway type of organization is probably going to try to get some assets in return for him. So I think that's just a matter of time. I don't know where he winds up going, but he's made it really difficult on them in terms of letting people know that he wants to be in L.A. So anyone, you know, I'm sure you guys have covered this, but if you give a bunch of assets for him as a rental and he doesn't resign, you look like you're pretty incompetent. So he's kind of, you know, handcuffed them in terms of where they can send him. So,
Raj, it looks like the Wizards are willing to part with the 15th overall pick if you take some of the baggage off their hands, guys like Gortat, Markieff Morris. Do you think that's a strong move by the front office here, or should they stand pat with the 15th pick and select a player there?
I think that that could be a good move. They're a franchise that's kind of in a weird spot in terms of, you know, they got some really good pieces, and on paper, you know, you would expect them to probably make a little bit more noise than they've made as of late. So you're not looking for, there's no piece at 15 in this year's draft, I think, that you bring in and it changes what you have. Those guys have open windows in terms of Bradley Beal and Porter and John Wall. So yeah, moving that pick, if you could get or Gortat or someone, whoever it is that they don't really love, you know, out of the way, and then you might be able to bring in another piece that kind of fits the window and may refresh, hit the refresh button before you reset. But that could be a good move for them.
Hmm. We were talking earlier about 15. You know, some of the names you're hearing, Zaire Smith, who's just an athletic freak, but, you know, he's got to work on his shot. He's still a very young kid. And then we were talking about Dante DiVincenzo. I like that kid. I mean, he's well coached in college. Obviously, he can shoot it. He's athletic. He plays D. He's got a motor. You know, yep. I don't know if that's high 15 for him, but he's probably projected somewhere in that, you know, 15 to 20 range. But I like him at 15.
I like Dante DiVincenzo. I think he's a good player. I think he kind of fits the mold of what I'm like. I guess what I'm talking about at that 15. Like, I don't know that any of those guys are going to be, you know, 5 years from now, you're going to be like, like, damn, Dante Vincenzo is like taking the league by storm. I don't think he's that kind of player.
No, really.
I think he could be a really solid pro, you know, and that's not shabby. Like, he could be a good pro. He could be a good rotational piece on a good team, you know, over, you know, I give him some time. You know, he's not going to drop him in a hat, and that's not going to happen right away. But, you know, I guess the question with any franchise, and specifically this, you know, would be Washington, is where are you as a franchise, and what are you trying to accomplish? Like, are you trying to fit a need for a team that has an open window now, or have you already kind of made the determination that this team isn't good enough and we're going to have to start kind of rebuilding without completely starting from scratch? And those are two different scenarios, right? Like, if your window's open now, you probably want, you know, more veteran guys, or if you're going to get a rook, he's got to be a ready-to-go rook. It can't be like a project. And a lot of 15s, you know, are going to be guys that it's like hit or miss. So that's what you have to determine with, when you're picking in a slot like that. Like, do I need a guy who's ready to go? Can I trade out and get that? Or am I going to take a shot at a Dante DiVincenzo, who may not wind up being a superstar but could be a very good pro?
Yeah. All right, so at the top of the draft, I feel bad for Bagley because, you know, the Phoenix is probably going to take Ayton, and then Sacramento holds the two. So Bagley probably going to be drafted by Sacramento unless there's some wild trade.
You feel bad for a guy who's going to make $5 million next year?
No, not financially, but just lifestyle-wise. Right. I just wouldn't want to live there. But at the top of the draft there, with Ayton, Bagley, and then Doncic, from the international player from Slovenia, what do you see happening there in the top three?
Yeah, I think you're probably right at the end of the day. I think it winds up going, DeAndre Ayton to Phoenix. And I'm not sure. Look, I said it today on our podcast. Like I said, I'm not sure that, for me, there's anybody in this draft that's just a surefire thing. Like, I think they're all just kind of like, they're all good. I don't think there's going to be that guy that's just like a Jason Tatum, if you will, this year, where you're like, Jesus, that's star in the making. I don't know that I see that guy. But I think because DeAndre Ayton, and he probably has the highest, what is it, floor, if you will. Like, he's going to be a good pro. He's big. He fits. He's prototypical. Like, he can do some things out on the perimeter. He's right there in their backyard. I don't think Phoenix wants to miss on this, so I think they'll take him. I actually like Marvin Bagley. Like, I like him a little better. I feel like he's been the best player in the class, or in his class, since he was, like, 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do anything to disappoint this year at Duke. Like, he was ACC Player of the Year, I think. Like, he was just, he's really good. He's got a great motor. That's one of the things you got to have as a pro when you're that size. You got to have a motor. You got to be, you know, you have to be active. And I think he's got that. And then, you know, Luka Doncic is, for me, probably the most skilled, I think, offensively. But, you know, I think there's just questions on whether that European style is going to translate every time. I think we've got enough proof now with guys, you know, like Ricky Rubio and Peja Stojakovic, Dirk, and, you know, I can name a player, I can rattle him off, but I think his style will translate. He's a 6'8 playmaker. Like, you're talking about, like, Ben Simmons. I mean, a little smaller than Ben Simmons, but a guy with that kind of size, you could put the ball in their hands, and he can play pick and roll as well as a 6'1 guy. I mean, that's gold. Like, that's the way the NBA is trending. So I really like that, but I think he'll wind up going three.
Have you seen Doncic play live or just on?
I've not. And I really wish I had, because I've talked to people who've seen him live. And they say when you see him live, he's just got a you know, some guys, when you walk in a gym, like, let's say you walk in, like, a YMCA or something, yeah, and you're watching guys, like, warm up, there's a dude who just jumps off the court. You're like, man, I want to play with him. You know, he's got that swag, that hit factor. They say he's like that, and I would like to see him play live.
Huh. Right, Roger, thanks for the time, man. Roger's an NBA and college basketball analyst for CBS Sports HQ. You can watch the NBA draft coverage tomorrow starting at 6 at CBS Sports .com and the CBS Sports app. Thanks a lot for the time, man.
Thanks
buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Rajah Bell, longtime NBAer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.